Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith. Two words that will change your life. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to preach something that God gave me a few weeks ago, but it was magnified just about 4 days ago, and I want us to dive into this. And I'm going to give you just a little disclaimer. This is going to sound like a political message, but it is not a political message. It's a church message. It's a spirit message. It's a culture message. It's a society message. It's something that everybody in here, no matter who you voted for, needs to hear. And I believe it's going to help us navigate this next season of our lives, of the church's life, and of society and in our nation. Amen? So the question in the series is titled, for the rest of November on Sundays at 11, Now What? Now what? Just turn to your neighbor and just ask them, now what? You may be seated. You see how quiet it got when we just mentioned politics? Why is it that you got quiet here when that's all you've been talking about everywhere else? Don't worry. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. The best answer you can give to the now what question, and I don't watch the news anymore because you can't believe it. Can't believe any news network. None. Can't believe anything, and so I spend more time in God's Word, more time discerning with my Holy Ghost that I've got that gives me the power of discernment. But I do find myself, because I'm an easy mark when I'm going through Yahoo and I'm on my homepage on the internet, that clickbait. You know those clickbait articles that they just get you with that phrase and you really don't have time? But you click anyway, Sister Gloria, and then you look up, and 40 minutes later, you just wasted listening to somebody's conspiracy theory or somebody hypothesize what they think is really going on. And so just that, I was answering emails this past week, and up popped a dissertation, up popped an article, and it just said, now what? And it was referencing our past election. Now what? And that question, now what? It is a question that is on the hearts and minds of 350 million Americans. Now what is the question that is on the minds of Democrats who voted for Mr. Biden? Now what is on the mind of Republicans who voted for Mr. Trump? Now what? But more than Republican or Democrat, for the believer, our mind is sometimes consumed with that question, now what? The best answer that you can give to the now what question is faith. Now what? Faith, that's what. I'm going to live faith, I'm going to talk faith, I'm going to be about faith. Another election has come and gone 5 days ago, and the 50% of the nation that's been happy the last 4 years has now flipped, and they're mad. The ones that have been mad are now happy. But at the end of the day, what kind of nation do we live in where 50% of the people are always mad? I'm a believer, you're a believer. Can we just say that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you voted for this past Tuesday, Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still in control of my eternity, my destiny, and where we are headed. A few weeks ago, God told me as the election was ramping up, three words: pray, vote, and then live. I believe this is a word for everybody in here. Hopefully you prayed, hopefully you voted, and now it's time to live. One of those three options has now fallen off the board. We have voted. Now it's time that we pray and time that we live. Now it's time that we quit looking to Washington for the answer and we go back to what we know always works, which is prayer and faith and supplication and praise and worship and living for God. Now it's time that we turn off Fox News and CNN and we go back to the book that started it all and will end it all. The book that has never led anyone astray. The book that has never had a broken promise. And so now it is time to pray and to live the life that God has placed in front of us. In your prayer time today, you need to pray for a lot of these so-called prophets, because they have some explaining to do. Because a lot of them out there have been prophelying, not prophesying. And now they've spent the last 5 days saying, what I really meant was, now what you really meant was you were deceiving people, manipulating people to get a following. And I don't need to hear you speak for God. I can talk to God all by myself. And unless you are confirming what God has already told me or the written word of God, I'm going to hit mute on you just like I do on most Christian television. Check this out. I love this. And Bishop mentioned this. We didn't even compare notes. The closest political statement Christ ever made, Jesus, on this earth was Mark 12:7. He answered and said to them, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. What the prophet Isaiah said about Jesus in the most political statement ever about Jesus was this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, not a government, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, and he will be the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. For those of you taking notes, you're going to love this. You know why Jesus didn't make political statements? You know why Jesus didn't talk politics? There's three reasons. Because Jesus is bigger than a political party. And Republicans can try to say that if Jesus was walking on the earth, he'd be a Republican. Democrats can say if he was walking on the earth, he would be all for social issues. Let me tell you something. Jesus was for free health care because he said, listen, as your faith is, so be it unto you. He didn't charge anybody to heal him. But Jesus was pro-life. Didn't want to kill anybody. Those who have sinned, you can cast the first stone. When somebody was on door's death, he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. The word of God talks about the unborn baby, that God has a plan, that God has an expected end, that he knew us in our mother's womb, that he called us. And so God, Jesus, if he were alive today, he wouldn't be Republican or Democrat. He would be Jesus. He sits above the political system, the government. He is his own political party. His name is Jesus Christ. And we've got a church that is filled with all sorts of different beliefs here today. But the reason we are sitting here today, all colors, all nations, all creeds, all political persuasions, is when we start talking about Jesus, nothing else matters. When we start worshiping Jesus, it doesn't matter who you voted for. When we start talking about Jesus, doesn't matter what you look like. Your age goes out the door. Your gender goes out the door. Your color goes out the door. Why? Because at the end of the day, in 4 years, it might flip-flop again. But in 4 years, Jesus will still be on the throne. His word will still be true. His promises will still be in effect. Jesus is bigger than politics. Bigger than a political party. Here's the second reason you never heard Jesus talk politics. Because kings don't discuss democracy. Kings don't. Democracy. Can I just be honest with you? Democracy in America is not the lesser of two evils. Democracy in America is like out of 350 million people. These are the two we have to choose from. For me, it's like choosing between black licorice and red licorice. They're both terrible. And somebody in here, you didn't even vote, and that's your choice. But I'm here to tell you today that real kings don't discuss democracies, because kings say this: I was born for this. I was born into this. To rule and to have authority. Can I just encourage you, and this fires me up, God didn't need my vote to be God. Even if you vote against Jesus, he's still Jesus. Even if you don't think he's the way, the truth, and the life, guess what? He's still the way, the truth, and the life. Even if you say, I don't believe that he exists, guess what, buddy? He exists. He's stronger today than he has ever been. And one day you're going to stand before that God. Kings don't get involved in discussing democracies because it is below them. And here's something for you that I learned in the business world. Number three, the reason Jesus didn't talk politics is this. Number one never discusses number two. The person in the number one position, it's the reason why you never hear Disney talking about Six Flags. It's the reason why Tesla and Elon Musk, you never hear them talking about Hyundai. But Hyundai people are always talking about Tesla. And in the board meetings at Six Flags, we got to become more like Disney. Number one, number one acts as if number two doesn't even exist. Number two is trying to catch number one. Can I encourage you? Jesus knew the day he was born, all God, all man, all flesh but all spirit. He knew I'm number one. There is no need for me to get involved in the political discussion. There is no need for me to get involved talking about kings and kingdoms, little k. Why? Because I am the king of all the kings. I am the Lord of all the lords. I am number one, and everybody, isn't it amazing? Believers talk about God. Believers talk about Jesus. Atheists spend their life talking about something that they say does not exist. Number one, the number one position never talks about number two. Jesus knew, I am the only way you can get to the Father. And so all the other stuff, you vote your conscience, you vote your pocketbook, you vote your values, however you choose to vote. He said, you can do that. But at the end of the day, I need you to realize that all of these things are forever changing. And people are making promises that they cannot keep. And even if they keep them, their promises fall short of the promises of heaven and the promises of the Word of God. And I want to encourage those of you today, those of you that voted for someone who won and those of you who voted for someone that didn't win, you need to dry your tears and maybe quit jumping up and down and saying, all right, now it's time to live the life that God has told us to live. Guess what? Even it doesn't matter who won the election. There are still broken people. There are still hurting people. There are still hungry people. There are still people that are depressed. Suicide is still on the rise. The opioid epidemic is still on the rise. At the end of the day, we don't need more politics. We don't need another president. We don't need to vote again for another. We need somebody that can change things, and that somebody is Jesus. And so today, I ask you, does he have your vote? Does he have your allegiance? Now what? Jesus. Now what? Faith. Now what? Hope. Now what? Joy. Now what? Peace. Now what? The plan of God. Now what? The Word of God. We've got to understand there's a lot of living left to do, and God is getting ready, I believe, to show up in this country like he never has before. I believe that God, in the last 10 or 12 months of my life, God has been speaking revival. That is bringing to life those things that are dead, but he's also been saying awakening. That is waking up things that were never alive. So I believe that God is going to reach the backslidden, those that have fallen off, but I believe that God is waking up people that have never said yes to Jesus Christ. I believe that he's waking them up in the ghettos, but I also believe that God is waking up some Hollywood elites. I believe that God is waking up some superstar athletes. I believe that God is waking up some people on Capitol Hill. I believe that people are awakening to Jesus and will awaken like never before. That's now what. That's what's about to happen in Jesus' name. Church, let me encourage you with this. Here is a list of things that did not change 4 years ago. At that election, and here's four things that did not change with this election. Jesus is still the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Here's something else that did not change. When Mr. Trump took office and will not change with the new president, the word of God will not change. God's word is eternal. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, that it is eternal. It is everlasting. It never changes. Here's something else that I'd love to shout about today. The promises of God are still the same as they were when he wrote them in this book 6,000 years ago. All 6,000 of them are still true and they're still available. And God is waiting for a man or woman of God today to reach up and say, yep, that's my promise. Yep, that's the one I'm standing on. Yep, that's the one I'm believing for. Before I get to 2021, yep, before January 1st, I'm going to see it. Here's something else that hasn't changed, the love of God. Psalm 136, over and over and over, it says God's love endures forever. God's love endures forever. God's love endures forever. How many of you are here on Wednesday night? I love my Wednesday night crowd. God's Wednesday night people in this house. And I told everybody yesterday before we had some time because we had so many volunteers show up at 6. We were ready to go at 6:25. We didn't open until 8. That's good. That's like better than Chick-fil-A good. My pleasure. Awesome. Amazing. But I told them, I was in prayer on Wednesday night because I kicked off a new series on Wednesday morning. I mean, Wednesday night. I was in prayer Wednesday after because I went to bed not knowing who was president, and I woke up not knowing who was president. But I prayed some on Wednesday saying, God, tonight we need you to speak. We need you to move. And I don't want to say I was fearful. I don't want to say I was concerned. But I didn't know how the service was going to be because of all of the unrest and all of the questions. But can I tell you that we had the best Wednesday night service of 2020 this past Wednesday night? You know why? Because you prayed, you voted, and then you said, I'm going to let them count them. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to live. I'm going to do what I did before the election, worship. I'm going to do what I did before the election, praise. Can I encourage you that when you understand that God is moving and God is doing it, you're going to show up and live your best life now. I love what I felt on Wednesday night. The love of God endures forever. Here's something else that hasn't changed, the will of God. The will of God is not destructed by democracies or put up or flourishes under. The will of God does not look at who's in the White House. The will of God does not look at what China is doing and what Russia is doing. The will of God is not looking at anything else. The will of God is the will of God, and everything else revolves around it. And then when believers act in faith, we pull that will of God out of air, and then we produce the manifestation of the will of God here on earth. Explain that, Pastor. Very simply, it is the will of God for you to be made whole. I love this. If God's will is to heal you, then it doesn't matter if a Republican or Democrat wants to give free health care or not. Why? Because I don't have to go to my senator or my president. I can go to the one over them, my king. The one who says, I am the great physician. By my stripes, I'm going to release healing. And oh, come on now. The will of God for the last 6,000 years is that you be made whole. Jesus came in 2,000 years ago to enforce the will of God. Now what? It doesn't matter because I can go straight to God and say, God, I am getting ready to pull out of your will that you gave us in the spirit, and I'm going to faith that thing into reality and into real life. Actual being facts. I feel it in my body. We now see the results on the x-rays and the MRI. God, I am healed, and it didn't matter what health care they're floating around. My health is in your hands. Here's something that never changes. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is powerful. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus now. I pled it 10 years ago. I'll plead it 10 years from now. And the reason we plead the blood of Jesus, the reason why the faith men and women they still put it under the blood is they realize the blood has never lost its power. They realize that it doesn't matter what's going on around us. Your job can be in turmoil. Your family can be in full upheaval. But that's why when you pray, you say, God, I'm putting my son under the blood of Jesus. I'm putting my marriage under the blood of Jesus. God, I'm taking this checkbook that won't reconcile and is always overdrawn under the blood of Jesus. The blood has not lost its power, nor will it ever lose its power. Here's something else that hasn't changed. God's purpose for your life. 4 years ago, God didn't say, oh no, the Donald is president. Everything I had planned for Brandon's life, out the window. 5 days ago, he didn't say, oh no, Mr. Joe Biden is elected. I'm going to have to change things now for Brother Chris, Brother Michael, Sister Tammy. God is not looking on who we put up and who we pull down. God is looking at the faith of every man and every believer in here today. And can I tell you that God has a purpose for your life that is unchanged. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His purpose in you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to tell you, get up tomorrow morning raring to go saying, God, I want to make sure that what you placed in me begins to be birthed out of me. And finally, God's vision for your life remains the same. God didn't erase the chalkboard this past week or 4 years ago and said, all right, change of plan. God's saying, stick to the plan. What's the plan? To seek and save lost souls. What's the plan? To be a bright light in a dark world. What's the plan? That your shadow would bring health and healing and deliverance to people. What's the plan for you to plant yourself in a Bible-believing church? What's the plan for you to serve that church on the weekly? What's the plan? Keep tithing. Keep sowing. Keep giving. What's the plan? Keep worshiping. What's the plan? Keep praising. What's the plan? Keep fasting. What's the plan? Keep praying. None of that has changed. I've given you vision. Work the vision. Here's something God gave me. I love this. One of the reasons why Habakkuk tells us, write the vision and make it plain. We write the vision so what's on TV doesn't change our mind. We write the vision so conservative talk shows don't manipulate us. Or liberal talk shows don't manipulate us. We write the vision. So when we hear something and say, I don't think that sounds right, we go back to the vision that God told us to write it down and say, oh yeah, his vision. It doesn't matter what they say, what they think, what they're doing. This is my vision. That is my God. This is my faith. This is my life. And I'm going to live it now. Somebody say amen. The vision of God for your life has not changed. None of what I've said, Jesus, his word, promises, love, will, blood, God's purpose, God's vision, none of that changed, and none of that is contingent on Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump. None of that is contingent on Democrats or Republicans. None of that is contingent on COVID-19. Can I tell you, this is a word for somebody, maybe somebody. Joel chapter 2 says that God will restore the year. The palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, the caterpillar has eaten. Can I help you today and say, just tell somebody you've wasted the last 8 months of 2020 because of fear, because of anger, because of annoyance, because of frustration. But I'm here to tell you, shake off all of that. Shake off that heavy spirit. Come cast it on the altar. Cast it on Christ, for he cares for you. And I'm still standing believing that if he can restore the years, he'll restore the months. And if you'll just focus in on Jesus and his word and his promises, his purpose, will, and vision for your life, God will do in the next 7 months what you thought, 7 weeks, what you thought he was going to do the last 8 months. Can I encourage somebody today? God is still in the miracle working business. God is not looking at COVID. God is not looking at corona numbers. What God is looking at, will he find faith? Will he find somebody standing in the gap? Will he find somebody that has put their foot down and said, devil, not today, not any day. Are you that person? It's time. Now what? We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to live for Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and just shout at him, live! One of my favorite portions of Scripture I'm going to share with you, and I've never preached at length about it, but we're going to cover it over the next 3 weeks, 2 weeks after today, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was born for this generation. Some of you amen that you don't even know where I'm going, but that's all right. I like the amen. See, some of y'all are thinking spiritually. Yeah, he was born for this. He's going to change. No, I was born for this generation because I love to text. You know why I love to text? It's the glory. It saves me time. Because when I text somebody or they text me, there's none of this. Hey, how's Mandy doing? How are the kids doing? You don't care about Mandy or my kids. You're getting ready to ask me something, and you're buttering me up thinking that you really care about my family when we didn't get no Christmas gift, birthday gift, and anniversary gift. You don't care about them. How's the weather, man? It's been, man, this election's crazy. None of that's in text. It's just, are you available tomorrow at 10 a.m.? I like that. There used to be somebody that worked here for years and years and years, and I would call them, and I'd say, hey, are you available to do so-and-so? And the answer is either yes or no. There's five letters in this equation. One three-letter word, one two-letter word, yes or no. And it didn't matter if the answer was yes or no. They would tell me why their answer is yes or why their answer is no. The Bible says let your word be yes and no, yea or nay. And so I love 1 Thessalonians 5 because Paul gets a little weary in this book, this letter. He is writing from Corinth to the church at Thessalonica. It is his first letter. He is writing this letter because him, Timothy, and some of his other proteges, they have been slandered. They have gone through defamation. There's tricksters and manipulators and the prophet liars showing up, and they're disrupting the church at Thessalonica. And so Paul begins to write this letter of exhortation, of correction, of rebuke, of buildup, and all of that. But I love when he gets to the end of this letter. Can I just read it real quick for you? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, we're going to break this down over the next 2 weeks. He says, I beseech you, brethren, to know which is those that labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort those that are feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but unto every ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So that sounds like Paul to me. He's talking, he's exhorting, he's giving all of this word. Then he gets to verse 16. You can tell he's getting a little annoyed. Because now it's no longer these 50-word verses. Verse 16 is two words. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. He just starts hitting them with the truth. And what he's saying, church, is this. Don't worry about what is going on outside of the walls of your life. You worry, and not worry, and that word worry there, I'm talking about be more concerned with what is happening in your heart. Be more concerned with what is happening in your mind, in your spirit. Be more concerned with what, let me tell you, can I just be honest? Your marriage, what's going on in your bedroom is more important than what's going on in the White House. What's going on at your kitchen table is more valuable than what's going to happen in the Oval Office the next 10 years. Can I encourage you, as Paul is saying, he said there's some people out there defaming. There's some people out there running their mouths about me and about Timothy and Barnabas and Silas. There's a lot of people that say this is not the way and that the Messiah hasn't come. But he said, I need everybody to bring back your focus onto the thing that we know. And what we know is this, that Jesus is still King. What we know is this, and we're going to break them down. Prayer still works. Rejoicing still works. Loving your brother still works. Encouraging the feeble-minded still works. Can I tell you, Living Way, I'm here to get you off of Fox News and CNN. I'm here to focus your faith back on Jesus this morning and tell you all of that is over, and it is time that we start leading our homes. It's time that we start leading our marriages. It's time that we start leading, listen, our Bible studies at work. That we make the main thing once again. Jesus is not an afterthought after an election. It's not back to business as usual. It's God, I'm more focused than I've ever been. Pastor Becky, if you'll begin to play, praise team, come. I'm going to end with this. I might dive into this a little more next week. In November of 2019, so 1 year ago, always asking God, God, what do you have for me? What do you need from me? God, what are you saying to me? Then from there, it branches off. God, what are you saying to the church at large? What are you saying to our local church called Living Word? What are you saying to pastors? What are you saying to me just as a believer? Because contrary to what a lot of these divas, and I call them divos, those are the man divas. Contrary to what they believe, we're all just saints of God. And when I walk off this platform, I have the same temptations as any man. I have the same feelings of quit that any person has. But I put them under the blood of Jesus. And I walk out my salvation in fear and trembling. I let the Holy Ghost lead me. But God, what do you have for me as a believer? And I know it sounds cliche, but God said 2020. Of course, we all think vision, clear vision, clean vision, unadulterated vision. I can see clearly. And I believe that was God's word for me, for the church. It's a word for all of us, believe. And I've seen my own peers. Let me tell you something. I felt like a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and a pastor this week in the last 8 months because of Corona, talking to my friends and peers in ministry. Talking them off the ledge of quitting and shutting down their churches. One of them told me, said, man, Fender, I love talking to you because he said, even if I don't believe what you're saying, he said, man, it does something to me. Because I'm telling them, hold on, hold the line. God's doing something. God's going to use you. God's going to bring you out stronger than you've ever been. And a lot of my friends have already thrown in the towel saying, oh, yeah, Fender said this was the year of 2020, and this is the year of vision. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that corrected my vision like Corona. I can tell by the amens. You don't believe me either. Six of y'all said amen. I've never had more vision than right here today. Corona made me think about family more. Corona made me concentrate on my marriage more. We've had more family time this year than we've had in the last 5 years put together, and it's because of Corona. Man, my vision's clear. Vision for this church, vision for my future. And then with all the things going on in our world and the election and social injustice and all of those things, my eyes have been opened. I feel like Saul on the road to Damascus. 2019, coming into 2020, we fell down and we got back up. And he said, man, I see what God wants me to see. Church, every Sunday and Wednesday when you come into this place, we want you to forget about what's going on there, and we want you to focus on what's going on in your life because of Jesus Christ. We want to be an oasis in your desert. We want to be the strong tower that is only Jesus and his name in the middle of your battlefield. But I want to encourage you, more than Wednesday and Sunday, you've got an ever-present help with Jesus Christ. You can go to him. You can't even get your senator on the phone. You can't even get the mayor on the phone. But the King of all kings will answer your call every time. Stand on your feet. I believe that there's some people in here today that just like the church of Thessalonica, you're worried about what they say more than standing on what he said. You've heard the ugly talk. You've heard the crass talk. You've heard the negative talk, the faithless talk. And it's beginning to affect your vision. Can I just remind you, go back to what is written. Remember what God said to you in 2018? He still means it. Remember what God promised 16 months ago in 2019? It's still true. And I know that faith has been shaken this year like never before because of everything that's going on. But I want to tell you that Jesus, he knew the questions you would have. He knew what would be going on. And he still says, those who are heavy laden, come. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. If that's you, I need you to step out of your seat, and I need you to join me in this altar right now. For those of you